Hey, I'm Luke, and I'm going around the world. This is a podcast normally where I talk about single destinations that I visit in my world travels, but tonight I'm not going to talk so much about a single destination, more about a single and quite unique form of transport, because currently I'm on the only ocean liner, passenger ocean liner in the world still in service, and that is the Queen Mary 2. Backing up a little bit, though, I've actually been to another few different places, but not seeing anything there. You know, I flew from Berlin over to Heathrow over to Seoul, but I didn't leave the airport in Seoul, so I can't really say I've really been there. This is the way I normally judge if I've been somewhere or not been somewhere, is if I go into the open air and I tread on real ground. Because if I just leave a plane and I sort of go across one of these sky bridges into the airport terminal and back out again, I don't really consider I've seen anything there. I've not really had any stories to tell there. The only story that I've got to tell from the airport, the international airport in Seoul in South Korea, is that I felt really, really tall. I know it's a bit of a stereotype, but you do feel very tall in when you're say a white European among lots of East Asian people there. So yeah, I did feel quite tall. And then anyway, so I got back on another plane and went down to Guam, and I landed at Guam quite late. Well, I say quite late, quite early in the morning, around about 2 o'clock or something in the morning. Went through customs, went through immigration, and for an American port, it was actually very easy to get through. Normally, there's lots of questions asked, and you have to like give your thumbprint and your fingerprints and all of that kind of stuff. And this time, it's just like very relaxed. They just let us through, no problem at all. I went over to the hotel. The thing is, I got to the hotel and into bed and asleep probably about 3:30 in the morning, and I'd been traveling a long time, and you know, 9 hours off with the whole jet lag and all that kind of stuff. But I knew that I was performing on the ship the next day, or that same day, as I finished traveling. And normally I say, you know, I get an email through saying, hey, you're going to be performing on the cruise ship the day you join the ship. And I say, I don't mind that as long as I don't travel on that day, so I can have a night in a hotel first, so I'm all relaxed, so I can go on stage. And that's what they said. Yeah, don't worry, you'll be in a hotel the night before, except that I only managed to get maybe 3 hours sleep in the hotel after arriving at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I was up very early in the morning, and I got off, and I had a bit of a swim in the sea. I tested out a new camera that I had. I just bought which is a little flip, HD flip camera, which is pretty cool. But I bought a waterproof casing as well, so I was testing out the waterproof casing because I knew on this trip I was going to be doing some snorkeling. And actually, I've already done that because I must admit I've already been to another stop since I got onto the Queen Mary 2. So anyway, I got onto the ship the next day, got a lift across to the ship, but I didn't get off the ship again before my show. So while I can say that I have been to Guam, I've not really been to Guam, so that's not what the podcast is about. So what I thought I'd talk about is a bit about the Queen Mary 2, this absolutely massive, very luxurious ocean liner that I'm on here. It's actually named after the first Queen Mary cruise ship, which was built back in the 1930s and was one of the last. It was, at the time, it was the biggest ship that was built. It was bigger than the Titanic by quite a long way. It was the big prestige thing in the 1930s. And in the Second World War, the Queen Mary and the Queen Elizabeth were troop carrying ships. And Winston Churchill is, you know, said that they shortened the length of the Second World War by a year just by the amount of American and Australian troops that they managed to transport to Britain in time for the invasion of Normandy there. But the idea is that the Queen Mary, the original ship back in the 1930s, wasn't actually named after the like Mary Queen of Scots or anything. The legend goes that you read around the ship here is that the representatives of the Cunard, which is the cruise line, went to ask the king at the time, King George V, can we call they were going to call it Victoria, and they said, can we call our ship the Victoria? But they didn't ask that. They actually said, can we call it after Britain's greatest queen? And King George V says, yes, my wife, Queen Mary, would be very pleased with that. So they went, oh, okay, well, we can't call it Victoria, we're going to call it Queen Mary, which is a bit of a strange, because all of the Cunard ships up until that point had been named things like the Britannia and the Coronia and all these other names ending with IA, which Victoria would have slotted right in then, but in other words, it was called the Queen Mary. So that's where it comes from. And of course, the Queen Mary 2, which is the ship I'm on at the moment, was built back in, like, I think 2003, launched 2004 or 2005. So it's a much more recent ship. And up until that point, there had only been one cruise line. Like, there had been lots of cruise lines, but only one what do you call it, ocean liner, which has been, you know, going backwards and forwards across the North Atlantic, and that was the QE2, the Queen Elizabeth II, which I've performed on and worked on before. That's no longer running. I've worked on this Queen Mary 2 before, but it was actually the first cruise ship that I ever worked on, and now I've come back to it. And of course, I've got a different way of looking at it, because then I didn't have any way of thinking, oh, is this a normal cruise liner or is it not a normal cruise liner? And now I know really it is not a normal cruise liner at all. It's very, very different. For one thing, it goes very, very quickly. It's got more power than any other ships. It's definitely the fastest cruise ship, if you want to call it a cruise ship. And that's what it was. One of the main differences between a cruise ship and an ocean liner is the speed. Also, that it's fit for going across the North Atlantic in not just summer weather, but also in winter weather. So lots of high seas. The sides of the ship go way, way higher before you get to like the promenade deck where the lifeboats are kept. Normally they're on deck 4 above the sea line, above the water line on other cruise ships. So they're here on deck 7, so it goes up really, really high. So when you approach a ship for the first time, even though you get bigger cruise ships now, which are a lot heavier, this feels a lot bigger. It feels a lot higher. It feels a lot longer because it's got a real... much more pointy prow, and the back of the ship, normal cruise ships, they're just sort of these square backs. They look like bricks with slightly pointed ends to them, whereas an ocean liner is a lot sleeker and goes a lot quicker as well. And it's very, very tall. It's very, very wide. It's very, very, you know, long as well. Very, very impressive. Of course, there's other ships that are bigger than it now, but otherwise that's what you get. And there's loads of different stuff going on there. It's like I say, it's quick and it's very luxurious. And one thing I didn't do last time I was on the ship, I discovered was really great is that it's got a planetarium inside. I think it's the first planetarium, or it's the only planetarium on any kind of cruise ship or ocean liner. It shows the same programs as the Hayden Planetarium at the National History Museum in New York City, or so say the credits after you see it. I've seen 3 of these now, and it's really great. I think the whole idea of a planetarium is to make you feel really, really small. So what happens is that they show you something like a planet, and then they zoom out from a planet and keep zooming out and zooming out and zooming out. Then they'll show something else and zoom in and zoom in and zoom in. And as they're zooming in, it sort of twists and turns as well. So like you say, every time you see anything, you know, you take a trip across a galaxy, or, you know, from one end of a universe to the other, or from here to the sun and back again, or into the sun or out the sun. Yeah, it's everything, lots of zooming in and out, which is great because, you know, you get to see different places which aren't just around the world, but off the world as well with a planetarium, which is great. So it's a really cool ship to work on. The theatre's very impressive, although very strange. I use a video screen in my show, but they don't have a video screen. Normally they do in these theatres, but here they don't show films in the theatre because they've got the planetarium where they show the movies during the day, which is really strange that like one of these big theatres, they just don't have the same facilities as the smaller ships or the different kind of ships, because they can spread them out between different venues within the ship. So what else have I got here on my nose? Yes, actually crossing the equator. This time I've actually been across the equator at around about this point, sort of in the Pacific Ocean, going, you know, past Indonesia and that kind of area before. That time the cruise ship that I was on was on a world cruise, and it had crossed the equator a few times before, like twice already, and was going to do it again. So there wasn't a big celebration. Here there was this ceremony sort of crossing the equator. I never bothered going to that because it was like in the middle of the day and it was really, really hot. We sort of crossed over at like midday. But what I did do is go to the front of the ship and juggle while crossing the equator. I know it's a bit of a gimmicky thing to do, but, you know, I'm getting video of me juggling in lots of different places around the world, and I thought, you know, juggling while crossing the equator on the Queen Mary 2 would be interesting. Unfortunately, it's not actually a very interesting video. It's just me with some sea in the clouds and, you know, the sun in the background, or, you know, the sun directly above, actually, because it was at midday, you know, and it wasn't actually that interesting, so I'm probably not going to put it up online for any reason, really, I guess. There it was, and it wasn't that exciting. But what is really exciting about crossing the equator and travelling around here is looking for the wildlife. Now, a lot of the times you can see dolphins and sometimes whales if you're really lucky, and lots of different things, you know, down in the around Cape Horn and in Antarctica you see seals as well. Here in this part of the world, in the tropics, you get flying fish. Now, last time I was coming through here on a ship called the Crystal Serenity, I was looking out the window, landed, you know, eating lunch or drinking something, I can't remember, looking out the window, and suddenly there was this line, this flash, like this, and I was like, what's that? And then there was another, like that, and then a few minutes later another one, and you get these little blue flashes of lines, like like the fish come out of the water and fly in exactly straight, perfectly straight lines. They go zoom and plop back into the water again. And they do change direction because they obviously like stick their tail into the water again and give themselves a boost. So they fly in a straight line and then change direction by, you know, as a splash and another straight line, another straight line. And it's always really good fun. This time there was all these birds swooping down around the ship, which was really good fun, trying to catch the ship, trying to catch the flying fish out of the water. And when it happened, of course, there's obviously lots of people watching this taking place on the promenade deck of the ship, and they'll all be like, woohoo! And everyone's like, oh, you see that, you see that? Because it is actually really interesting to see the seabirds scooping up fish from the sea, which is, yeah, a lot of fun. The only thing is I couldn't get any good photos of this. This is something that was really, really annoying when I've gone through the tropics, which I found out over the last few days. Is that you're inside an air-conditioned ship, and I think, oh, there's something out there I want to take a photo of. So I take my camera, go outside, and immediately the lens fogs up, and it fogs up, and it fogs up, because it's like 40 degrees outside, and inside it's like, well, 20 degrees less or something, whatever, with the air conditioning. So you've got to sort of pre-warm your camera, or my camera, and also pre-warm the different lenses that I want to use on the camera too, which I found out that time, and I found that out as well very much so when I was in Rabaul, which is Papua New Guinea, which I've already been to, so I'll do that update next. That's around about it. That's all I've got to say. Thanks for listening. Email me at luke@juggler.net if you've got any feedback or questions or anything. Otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burge at Twitter. Also, there's this travel website which I use to upload my photography to, and also plan my trips and sort of tie the trips in, try the photography into the trips and things. So if you want to see all of the trips that I took this year and all of the trips that I'm taking this year and going to, in a really easy zoom in and out kind of map kind of thing where you can see the photos that I took in each place as well, go to sosource.com/Luke Burge, which is sosauce.com. It's like social source, so source, and /Luke Burge. You can find my profile there. You can see my footprints of all the different places that I've been around the world too. Otherwise, that's about it. I'll catch you next time for the next update. Thanks for listening.